Please turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 70 and 71. Psalm 70, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, thou shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have what many commentators would consider to be a pair of psalms, one being a companion to the other. In this book here of the Psalter, the second book of the Psalter, we have a lot of titles. And notice that Psalm 71 has no title. Psalm 70 has a title, and some have taken that to mean that these were to be considered together of common authorship. So we would consider then Psalm 71 to be that Psalm of David as well. So we have a pair of Psalms that really do run together. All right, so in Psalm 70, a very short Psalm, it is indeed a cry for help. Notice that in the title, it is a Psalm designed to bring to remembrance. Now, what does that mean? To bring to remembrance. Is it something to bring to the psalmist's mind, or is it something other than that? And I think that if we consider what's going on in the psalm, that it is it's a cry for help, a cry for deliverance. It's really a song, designed to bring our case to remembrance before the Lord. That the Lord is the remembrancer here in this title. That we bring these to the Lord, it is in essence us saying, Lord, remember me, remember the difficulty, the affliction under which I am or I exist at this present time, so that you might deliver me. So that's really, I think, a right understanding of what it means to bring to remembrance. And it's not that the Lord ever forgets or is ever unknowledgeable about our estate. But the scripture often speaks condescendingly to God's people about what it means to bring their case before God's remembrance. It's not an unusual way to use the word remember in scripture. And it does nothing to militate against the doctrine of God's omniscience. It is simply us bringing our case before the Lord to bring to remembrance. So there is a particular method, I guess, that the enemies of David here would speak to him. First of all, David asked that the Lord would make haste to deliver him and make haste to help him. So two times David says, make haste, shows the urgency of David's crying out to the Lord. The Lord's not in any hurry, right? But David is in a hurry for deliverance. This speaks to the vehemence of the persecution that he endures. And so they seek after his soul. He prays that they would be turned backward, put to confusion, that they would be ashamed. They would be turned back for a reward of their shame. Notice that there is a reward for shameful things. Isn't that what David says here? That they would be given the reward that is due to the shameful things that they're doing. Okay? And this is what David cries out for. That the persecution of God's people, namely himself, but of others as well, and the scorn, the ridicule, the marginalization, patronization, the persecution, which may even at some time devolve into a kind of, you know, physical injury and so on. And, of course, as we know over church history, even death. That is a shameful way to treat the people of God. And David asks for a reward of their shame. Now, let's just pull up for a moment and make a use. Whenever someone asks us about such and so, and we say anything short of something good, we behave ourselves shamefully, do we not? If we speak ill of a brother in Christ, if we speak of them in such a way that is not complimentary, if we speak of them in such a way so as to denigrate their good name, what is that? Shameful. It's shameful. And so let us not then take the part of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. Let us not take the part of those shameful ones who would indeed speak against and act against the people of God by doing the same. Let us remember that the words that come out of our mouths are to be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, giving grace to those who hear. Right? Seasoned with salt, what does that mean? We learned from that. We learned last week as well as some other times that means that our speech is to be savory. Savory to whom? Savory to God. Okay? So let's not take up then the part of those who would speak against God's people. Instead, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And then the psalm ends with David's make no tarrying, O my God. Once again, he reiterates the urgency under which he suffers. All right, so then in Psalm 71, obviously a much longer psalm, the psalm is divided into two sections. I have the first as 1 through 13. And in 1 through 13, there is a statement of, there are some statements of comfort, but these comfortable statements are couched in the context, once again, of persecution. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be my strong habitation, and so on. There's a cry over and again for deliverance, for salvation, for protection, and so on. Now, if we're going to go with our prior understanding that 70 and 71 go together, and that David is the author of Psalm 71, we can think of many times in David's life when he might cry this particular psalm out to the Lord, asking for salvation and deliverance and so on. David becomes a very good example to us when we are in any kind of difficulty. Number one, because the difficulty that we suffer under will not generally be as intense as David's was, as threatening as David's was. We don't have a king mustering his army, chasing us around the countryside. We do, however, have some difficulties, and perhaps even for our faithfulness that we might suffer in today's culture. For those of you that are of the congregation today that are younger, I would say to you that the world that you will grow up in and mature in is a world that will hate Christianity much more than it hated it in the time when I was your age. I see that especially in the West. Christianity is coming under a greater and greater opprobrium as it will intersect and countermand the spirit of the age more fully as the spirit of the age comes more into its own. I say that not to scare you. I do say that, however, to prepare you. I do believe that it will be more difficult one generation from today to stand for Christ than it would be today. That's my belief in the West. May the Lord prove me wrong. I would love that. But that's the way I see it. Now, in the midst of that, then, Psalms like Psalm 71 will be and ought to be very close to you. They are those Psalms that teach us how to call upon the Lord in times of trouble and how the Lord, for his part, promises not only deliverance in his due time. Sometimes that deliverance is met at the end of a sword. Let's be honest. There have been many that have been grand and stout Christian men and women throughout history that met their eternal reward at the point of a sword because of their faith. That's not uncommon in our history. I don't know how, you know, what the Lord will do in the age to come, but notice that if you read those accounts of those men and women, what were some of the methods that they used, some of the things that they made use of to remain firm in such times? Well, the Psalms were very close to them. Many of them were found singing psalms on the way to the gallows or to the stack of wood, to the stake. Many of them found not just temporal deliverance, but they found great spiritual assurance in the psalms. Let us not make use of the Bible in such a way that we hear of David asking for deliverance here in Psalm 71 and think to ourselves, if I'm in any difficulty, all I do is pray and the Lord will deliver me. The deliverance that the Lord has in mind may be quite different from what you think deliverance is. But he will never disappoint. He will always, whether it is by life or by death, like the apostle says, that the Lord would be magnified in me. So let's be careful, right, not to overstate the case to say that the Lord will always deliver from affliction, those who are persecuted. Well, sometimes that delivery from the affliction means that they are given their eternal reward and eternal bliss. Sometimes that's what it means. Sometimes it does mean that there is justice in this world done, and they will be delivered out of the hand of the lion, right out of the mouth of the lion. So, the Lord caused us to be born, and He will uphold us still. This is David's confession here. Lord, You took me out of my mother's bowels. You will cause me to stand even in the face of this persecution now. And in Thy due time, You will deliver me. So that's how David sees it. So that's the first section that David speaks of his affliction, the Lord's faithfulness. And it's a confession of faithfulness, even in the midst of difficulty. And we often say this, but let's say it again. What kind of people would we be without affliction and difficulty? That's pretty clear what kind of people we would be. We would be selfish, self-centered. We would be spoiled and so on. The Lord sends affliction, not just permits. The Lord sends affliction in order that we might be a people growing and maturing and being conformed to the image of Christ. All right, so then in verses 14 through the end of the passage, I think we might govern it by this first phrase. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. Notice that this hope and this praise is an unconditional hope and an unconditional praise. David is not here saying, I'll hope more and I'll praise You more if You deliver me. There's no condition placed on the hope and no condition placed on the praise. Whether You deliver me by death or whether You deliver me by release from this persecution that I'm undergoing, it doesn't matter. I will continue to hope and I will continue to praise, because for David, his hope and his praising, his obedience, it's not dependent upon his outward circumstances. It's dependent upon the Word of God and the promises of God. And so we see then David calling upon the Lord even in the midst of great affliction, and in the midst of that saying, I will hope continually and will praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. That is, I know not how many days I have. And I cannot name all of the mercies that Thou hast sent, even in the midst of my afflictions. So David teaches us here a very wonderful perspective. His confidence of deliverance is that the Lord is righteous. Troubles will pass, quickening will come, greatness and comfort await the servant of the Lord. And then we have some, what we call in highfalutin theological language, some doxological speech, right? Some praise speech. With the psaltery, with singing, with the harp, the psalmist will take joy in singing unto the Lord. And then we have more commitment unto the righteousness of God and the duration and frequency all the day long, David says. All right, so as we come to the end of this psalm then, let us remember the words of the Apostle Paul from Romans chapter 5. Listen to what he says. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, we know something others do not. We know, number one, the excellent virtues that the Lord works in His people through affliction. And for this, the psalmist breaks out in praise. Second, we know the righteousness of God, that God does not do things unjustly or for no purpose, that what He brings for real purposes with ourselves and with our loved ones. And it's on account of Jesus Christ. And then third, we, with the psalmist, recognize that it is our duty to thank the Lord for His sending of tribulation and trial. For as in the difficulties of life that we are weaned from our dependence upon ourselves and dependence upon the world, and we are caused to hope in Him alone. All right? So that's Psalms 70 and 71.